Answers Magazine, Volume 9.3, Page 11, Perspective, Astronomical Myths. The 13-part series Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey, completed its TV run a few weeks ago, but it will undoubtedly pop up in countless science classrooms this fall and in coming years. Producers claimed their goal was to promote scientific literacy, but did they have other motivations? Gregarious host Neil deGrasse Tyson contended, "The whole point of telling these stories is to allow you to understand that science, the scientific method, is central to all of our lives." But executive producer Seth MacFarlane offered an additional observation. "I think that there is a hunger for science and knowing about science and understanding of science that hasn't really been fed in the past two decades. We've had a resurgence of creationism and intelligent design, quote-unquote, theory. There's been a real vacuum when it comes to science education." Aired on several U.S. TV networks, such as Fox and the National Geographic Channel, and networks in 70 other nations, Cosmos boasted the biggest global launch for a TV series ever. Hundreds of millions of viewers were presented with a one-sided view of evolution, both its cosmological and biological varieties. The series was intended to update the hugely popular Carl Sagan series of 1980, which made famous the quote, "The cosmos is all that is, or was, or ever will be." The attack on biblical Christianity did not end with the airing of the last episode. As with the original Cosmos, these 13 hours of video will be shown to millions of students in science classrooms worldwide. Most, wowed by the program's special effects and its confident host, will uncritically accept astronomical myths such as the Big Bang and the Oort cloud. Far from promoting true scientific literacy, Cosmos pushes students to reject the designer of the cosmos and accept a universe that came about through mindless, purposeless, and naturalistic processes.
The costly exercise of religion. In June, a ruling was expected from the U.S. Supreme Court on the cases of Conestoga Wood Specialties and Hobby Lobby. The cases are about whether Obamacare's HHS abortion pill mandate can require Christian employers to provide abortion pills, even though these businesses object to paying for the life-ending drugs. If the company's owners abide by their religious beliefs and refuse to pay for the drugs, the government uses devastating fines to punish them, $100 per employee per day, which would put most companies out of business. No one is denied access to the abortion pills. The issue is whether the government can force someone else to pay for them. The companies have claimed that the abortion pill mandate cannot be enforced against them because federal law, including the First Amendment free exercise claims and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, requires that the government cannot substantially burden the exercise of religion without passing a rigorous test. In response, the government argues, having chosen the secular, for-profit path, the company may not impose its owner's religious beliefs on its employees. But no one is imposing religious beliefs. The government is actually arguing that Americans forfeit our religious freedom when we choose to open a business. The Supreme Court will determine whether all Americans, including job creators, can freely live according to their faith and honor God in their work, or whether the government can intrude on a family business's private moral decisions. A decision in the business's favor could help secure the free and full participation of people of faith in all areas of public life, including the marketplace, and remind all Christians of the need to remain vigilant against attacks on our right of conscience. A negative decision, on the other hand, would give the government the unprecedented power to force Americans to choose whether to follow their faith or to submit to unlawful and unprecedented governmental dictates.
Crystal clear? Evolutionary scientists say they've confirmed that 4.4 billion years is the age of the Earth's earliest rocks. They arrived at this date using assumptions and interpretations of zircon crystals found in Australian sandstone. When examined, however, their conclusions are merely the top floor of an elaborate house of cards. Zircon grains are found in rocks all over the Earth. Scientists say they found one grain whose ancient core has been undisturbed since its formation. Based on zircon's crystallization temperature, scientists believe they originally crystallized in rock while the Earth's magma was cooling, soon after the Earth formed. Upon this unobserved foundation, researchers built up a story leading to the formation of the sandstone, into which the zircons found their way. Their conclusions are based on 4 microscopic zircon crystals. Of the hundreds they analyzed, they found only 4 that yielded dates older than 4.3 billion years. The next 3 stories in this house of cards are the unverifiable assumptions of radiometric dating, that we can know the initial conditions, that we can be sure there was no contamination for 4.4 billion years, and that the radioactive decay rate has not changed. The top floor of this shaky house is the researchers' decision to rely on the dating of the zircon's core, while discounting the fact that other parts of the same microscopic crystal gave wildly divergent dates, from 492 million years to 3.4 billion years. And to add a leaky roof to the wobbly edifice, they got an age of 5.5 billion years when they dated clusters of lead atoms in the crystal. But they promptly threw these dates out because they were, clearly, older than the Earth. What seems clear from the many different dates they yield is that these zircon crystals aren't really frozen in time. And because of that, it is unrealistic to rely on any dates derived from them. Evolutionary scientists claim zircon crystals can be accurate time clocks, but they discard any timestamps that don't support their ancient timeline. Scripture, on the other hand, reveals the Earth is young. God's Word, the Bible, is the unchanging rock upon which we can interpret history.
Romeikes remain. In a case closely watched by civil rights groups, the plight of a German homeschool family seeking asylum in the United States has ended positively. German authorities had threatened to put the parents in jail and remove the children from their home since they would not enroll their children in government schools. So the Romeikes fled to America. The Justice Department wanted to deport the family to Germany, so the family appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Last March, the Supreme Court declined to hear their case. But one day later, in a surprise development, a different government branch, the Department of Homeland Security, allowed this Christian family to remain in the USA. Sadly, this case was decided at an administrative level, while the Justice Department's position remains unchanged. It is doubtful that this administrative ruling will set any precedent for other homeschooling families.
Inflated claims. In March, media reported that a group of astronomers had found proof of the Big Bang. What exactly did the scientists find? They claimed evidence of cosmic inflation, a necessary part of today's Big Bang model. The Big Bang has been the standard cosmology since the discovery in 1965 of the cosmic microwave background, CMB, a radiation field that fills the universe and supposedly originated a few 100,000 years after the Big Bang. The CMB was supposed to be proof of the Big Bang, but there was one problem. It was the same temperature in every direction, which didn't seem to make sense. Around 1980, cosmologists began to develop the idea of cosmic inflation to solve this and other problems with the Big Bang. Cosmic inflation is a hypothetical episode of very rapid expansion in the very early universe. Inflation is different from normal cosmic expansion in that inflation was far faster than the speed of light. There is no known reason inflation may have happened, nor was there any evidence for it. But nearly all scientists accepted the idea because without it, the Big Bang model doesn't work. Cosmologists theorized that if inflation had happened, it could have left a subtle polarization pattern in the CMB. The expected pattern is difficult to detect and measure, but inflation is so important to the Big Bang model that many teams of researchers were looking for it. The announcement this spring was the first claim that the expected polarization pattern had been detected. Does this discovery prove the Big Bang? No, but the first confirmed evidence of inflation will probably win its discoverers the Nobel Prize in Physics. Given this powerful incentive, some scientists think the announcement is premature and the result may not stand up to scrutiny. Even if the data are confirmed, there are other mechanisms besides cosmic inflation that could mimic the signal researchers are claiming to have found. What does this result mean for those who believe in biblical creation? The Big Bang requires that the universe be billions of years old, but we know from Scripture that the world is far younger than that. Furthermore, we know from Genesis chapter 1 that God made the earth before he made the stars. But the Big Bang requires that many stars existed for billions of years before the earth did. The evidence is far from conclusive, and the interpretation contradicts God's word. To call it proof of the Big Bang is inflating its importance.